I know that to you, Amy, morgues and death are just the everyday. But that wasn't true for me, not until, well, you know, until I got myself dead. But anyway, the point is, I was scared to go down into whatever room of death they had in the big white tomb at the center of town, the building we call the hospital. I was especially scared because it seemed like something really didn't want the receptionist to tell me anything about it. I hope she's safe, now that I think about her. I hope none of this circled back to hurt her. The infamous morgue was down 5 flights of stairs into the sub-basement of the hospital. I didn't take the elevator because I fear those in a much more rationalized way, so it took me a little time to find the right landing and cross through the door. The smell of formaldehyde was almost strong enough to block out my other senses for a minute. It made me think of high school biology, when we had to dissect frogs. My partner and I had the misfortune of getting a pregnant frog, and no matter how many eggs we scooped out of its belly, we could never get down to the guts. There were 2 boys across from us, sharing a lab table, and they spent most of their time laughing at all the eggs. There was one brief intermission where one dared the other to drink the preserving solution. He had the jar raised to his lips before the teacher caught him. Once I could see around the fumes, I stepped properly into the morgue. There were only 7 people there, but they were walking around in such a busy, dizzying fashion that it seemed crowded. 4 of them were going about with sponges and cloths, wiping and sterilizing every exposed surface. The other 3 were hunched over, talking in low tones about, I assumed, a dead body or something. Even in their hunched stillness, it seemed like they were moving. Their atoms vibrating at the same frequency, which was faster than mine were attuned to. I crossed over to them. One of them, a woman about 25, completely ignored me. The other younger person, a man around 20, who was probably a student completing some training for a degree, shifted his gaze nervously from me to the man before him and back. Me, the man before him, and back. It wasn't hard to figure out who the mouthpiece of the organization was. "Excuse me," I said. Sound was strangely bent in that room, dull. I didn't like it. But he hadn't turned around, so I said it again and tried to sound more authoritative. "Excuse me." The man with his back to me waved the other 2 away. The young man's gaze kept up the rhythm, me, the man before him, and back. But he obeyed his orders. The woman never acknowledged me, but in such a way that I knew she had seen me and was, in fact, watching me very, very closely. The man turned. I almost physically flinched. His skin, what little of it I could see, his face, his bald head, and his neck was a sickly yellow-green, like a bruise holding onto your skin as long as it can before healing. I thought it must have been the light. His nose looked broken, not like it had been broken before, but like it was actively broken, just out of blood to bleed. He must have still had blood though, because I could see very clearly defined a thick vein running up the side of his neck to jut out and curl around his right cheek, splintering off and fading back into his body at varying points. His teeth were white. Altogether, he looked like a zombie whose health insurance had dropped him like the carcass he was supposed to be. All but his dental coverage, he retained excellent dental coverage. I focused on his teeth while we talked. He said, eloquent as Frankenstein and half as charismatic. I assumed he was trying to ask why I was there. "I'm looking for a body, I think," I said. He said nothing. His teeth peeked out at me from thin bluish gums. They provided no help either. "Nolan Packett?" I said. He said. His teeth were starting to bother me, as much as the rest of him did, but I didn't want to look at anything else. This was a familiar grotesque, at least. The devil you know. "Nobody by that name." His speaking voice sounded the same as his previous incoherent grunting had. "Are you sure?" I asked, wondering why I was questioning him. Questions meant I had to stay longer, and neither of us wanted that. Can't you, like, look it up in a database, or...
Mm-mm. Not here.
His name tag said Dr. Zephaniah. I remember thinking that Dr. Zombie Caveman would have been more accurate. Okay, not my most creative work. It's very hard to think of zingers when you're staring at a zombie caveman and asking him about a missing dead body. His teeth were perfectly straight. Thanks, I said. Not sure for what. I turned to go. I made it to the door before I felt someone's eyes on my back. I paused with my palm pressed to the door, ready to push it open. The feeling didn't go away, so I turned around. The room, the whole morgue was gone. It was just gone. As surely I'm speaking to you from a black haze of middling existence, there I stood, in another middling place. A white patch of nothingness. Then, like it remembered it was supposed to exist when someone was watching, it snapped back. One room, seven people, expensive equipment, one man with perfect white teeth and an awful everything else. I left the morgue. I'm talking about visiting a morgue, Amy, and I'm... Well, it's got me wondering, how did you get my body, Amy? I'm here. I'm in the shadowy reverse of your back office where you resurrected me, and I can see myself. My old self, anyway. Lying there. Dead. Rule number one of bringing someone back is you have to have access to their body. You tried to teach me once how you do what you do, remember? You said that the old body acts as a conduit for channeling the spirit back onto this plane, or something like that. I was a little distracted by how cute you are when you get really focused on something. I can see my body here, Amy. I saw it clearly once, and I haven't looked over at it again because that is not something anyone should see. Their own dead body. But I know it is here, next to me, and I would see it again if I just turned a little. How am I here, Amy? I went into that house alone. I died. I was killed alone. Did you follow after me? Did you see it happen? Or did you stumble upon me later, lying there in a pool of my own blood, grown cold over time? I'm sorry that you had to find me like that. I hope you didn't see it happen. How did you know where to find me? I left the morgue. When I passed the reception area again, Heather wasn't in her chair. I walked outside and paced around near the bus stop, trying to think of what else to do. I thought about going to the police station, but they probably wouldn't be able to tell me anything they might know about Nolan without some kind of proof of relation. And I couldn't file a missing persons report or anything because I didn't know whether he was living. Or what he looked like. I thought about cornering Mr. Drapp, the mailman, somehow. Getting him to give up anything he knew about the letter so I could follow that lead back to its source. But that didn't seem feasible at all. I kicked a rock as I paced, even though the tumbling sound it made against the concrete distracted me from thinking. There wasn't much to distract from, really. I had no other thoughts. That's when I kicked the rock a little too hard, and it landed at the toe of some woman waiting at the bus stop. She was sitting on the rim of a huge stone flower pot, and she was holding a tiny dog in the crook of her arm. She smiled at me, even though she didn't mean it. I looked at the dog like it was surrounded in glowing light with the added ambiance of an angelic choir. Well, okay, I didn't actually think it was such a great thought back then, but Knowing where it led me now, that dog is the second best thing that ever happened to me. That was the dog that got me thinking about the only other place a death in the town would be logged. The pet cemetery. I'm sorry to say this, darling, but I always thought it was an absurd thing for a town to have. A whole building and grounds for retired pets. But it was the only thing I thought of that wasn't going to turn me away just for asking. That dog, so small and anxious I could see fur falling off of it from the force of its shaking. That dog led me to the pet cemetery. And that led me to you.